Our guest this hour joins me in studio, and that would be one Vince Ferrara, as it's time for Vince's Views. They're powered by Waters Equipment Company. Vince, how are you?
I'm good, John. Great to see you. Thanks for having me.
Welcome to the show. hope your day's going well. What it is, as of course, Vince pinch hit for Jimmy yesterday, has already today, will after this hour, and more into this week. But just so much to still unpack from Tennessee's victory against the Gators. And it's when you go back and look, because one, Tennessee could have played much better than it did, and at one point had a 17-point lead. And so there's always room for improvement. At the same time, Tennessee did a number of things very well to lead by 17 points. So what we can start with is, what was most impressive to you in just Tennessee taking care of the task at hand, and that was winning the game?
Well, the obvious answer is Hendon Hooker. However, I think it's the fact that this team has a trait in them, a characteristic, that when things don't go well, they have a response and they're not fazed by it. And they're equipped to do something about it, which even if past teams during the tough stretches of Pruitt and Jones before, because they had some decent teams, there'd be times where they'd face adversity. They didn't always have, especially under Jeremy Pruitt, they didn't have the offense to do something about it. And now you're starting to see them have players that can make game-changing plays, and then they've got the offense to be able to answer back. Like when Florida scored to get within three in the first half, and then Tennessee, boom, long pass play to Brew McCoy. And then same thing with the long pass to Jacob Warren.
Mm-hmm.
and then to have, for a team that's so explosive, to have a 12-play, 99-yard drive at the end of the first half and double dip within another touchdown-scoring drive, that's a reminder that the reason why Josh Heupel was brought to Tennessee, besides the fact that he had that familiarity and confidence from Danny White, is because Tennessee needed to get its offense modern. And now they have a fighting chance. Yes, the defense still has a way to go to get better, but they had been better prior to what we saw on display at times against Florida. So, I think the fact that this team has something to work with to respond to adversity and not get crippled or let teams go on long runs and run them out of the joint like we had seen plenty of times in that stadium and opposing stadium, as that game was another reminder of that really positive trait that this team has, more so than any of the individual performances.
We invite you, of course, to join the conversation this hour, 865-656-9900. That's 865-656-9900, which is also the same number you can use to text our show. But again, I very much agree with what you point out, and then especially the immediate answer with McCoy and that 70-yard strike right after a score. It really seemed like Tennessee is in a position that, as you also highlighted, that it hasn't been in quite some time, and that's just the belief. And, you know, we have Tony Vitello join us to talk football, and that's so vital to what were the building blocks for his program. It was, oh, wow, that's an SEC team over in the other dugout. It was, hey, we're an SEC team getting ready to play that SEC team. And just the belief that we've seen Tennessee baseball develop over these last few years that won them the East 2 years ago and won both conference titles last year with the regular season and the tournament.
Well, I think another common thread between the two is the confidence that the coach has in some of those players, even when things aren't going their best. Jalen Hyatt, prime example. Mm-hmm. I asked him about the reason why they play so hard and why he loves playing for Josh Heupel, and he said it's the trust he had in me, the belief he had in me when he struggled his sophomore season. And the kids don't forget that kind of stuff. And I think that is a special trait of a head coach, to know which guys that you have belief in, that they can work themselves out of either moments or stretches. and then get out of it and be a better player afterwards on the other side. And so it that does go back to the culture built at the University of Tennessee under Josh Heupel. Still not saying that they're college football playoff bound, but I think for fans it should be exciting that they've got, to me, a more solid, stable ground being a top 10 team than maybe we had seen the last time that happened.
Let's go to the phones and check in with Roger. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Roger.
Hey, John, Vince. How you both doing?
Doing well. How are you? Thanks for hanging with us.
Good, Roger. Hope you're well.
Oh, sure. No problem. No problem at all, John. I could do it. I'm doing fine, Vince. Good to talk to you, Vince. I enjoy you hanging on here, Vince.
Thank you, Roger.
I enjoy talking to you, too, Vince. I enjoy it. You've been a good. I'm get to hear you a lot in here. So if I get to hear you in here, it's not to hear your voice. You've been a good. I'm not sure what it's about you, but you bring a good voice to football, man. So every time you're on here, I just really enjoy your. I'm saying, I don't know what it's hard playing, but just I'm saying the man. So you've been a good voice. We're talking now.
It's nice of you to say. Thank you. That means a lot, Roger. Appreciate you.
Well, sure. And I want to ask you, Vince, about the game Saturday night. That's why I asked you first. What a game, Vince, and awesome to win a game. And I just want to ask you, Vince, about the game. I don't mean to sound negative, but I want to ask you what the those some people kind of, I hope you heard, but those people after those people were complaining about the at the end of the game, Ben. So I want to ask you about what can Tennessee do, the defense do better. I know it did do. I know it got stopped, but I want to ask you what can they do to get better at get better at, man.
Yeah, Roger. I do, Roger. And I think it's a reminder, and I wanted to point this out today, that we shouldn't look at one game as a finished permanent product. A lot of times teams play different from week to week.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it's more positive, whether it's worse. That was the worst the secondary had played this year. They hadn't played perfect, but they had played, I think, pretty well. It helped them win the Pitt game. I don't want to forget that.
Yeah.
It's not like, so I think people are acting like this team has been horrific in the secondary all year. We never thought that an improved Tennessee defense would be among the league's best. And in some categories, they were going into the game, or among the best in the league. So it's one game where it did not look good. It almost cost them. And that it has to be better. However, what they need to do, I think, is get these young guys to understand their zone coverages more, because that's where I think I saw a lot of the breakdowns. Now, you could say, some people might say, oh, they were playing soft prevent defense, and that's what I think. So there are times where they rushed six or rushed five. It wasn't that. It's understanding where they're supposed to be. They didn't have a couple of guys that would have played. Warren Burrell is one of them. I think D. Williams would help them, although we haven't seen him yet because of injuries. There is the possibility for them to get better and make more adjustments. I also think, depending on the quarterback that they see, if they have a more stationary quarterback, that we may see Tennessee be able to play better, because now your front four or the front seven, depending on who's getting after the quarterback, now they're able to get home to the QB rather than a quarterback keeping a play alive and then picking open receivers. So I think the front can help them based on who that quarterback is in the future. So it can be better. It's a little concerning, Roger, that they haven't played more guys. They have played a few more, but they haven't played more guys. To me, that tells me they don't trust those guys yet. So if the guys that are playing are struggling, and they have a higher trust, the coaches, in them than everybody else, then where would those other guys be? Maybe those guys can make progress over the bye week or as the season goes. So that's, I think, they may need to go different personnel direction. But just a reminder, it's not good. It has to get better. but it doesn't mean this is who they are and they can't get better. That's what I would say as just a little bit of an encouragement.
Right. Yeah, and also, Vince, I want to ask you and John, too, both of y'all, this, about what you did at potentially win. You know, it wasn't in the kind of nerve-wracking, and so I asked you what – You think Tennessee learned after beating Pittsburgh and before the you think the team would learn how to win? You think the team would learn how to win? You think maybe now learn how to win now?
I think so. And Roger, we always appreciate the call. Sure to appreciate it. I think you saw that some last year, but I think specifically you look at how they've handled situations and circumstances in this season, and that's where I think it's readily apparent because. I mean, Josh Heupel himself's talking about he's not sure Tennessee wins the game at Pitt if it's played last year.
Right.
But despite the fact that they couldn't get the offense on track, had just one field goal in quarters 3 and 4, but yet they win the game in overtime, that was a step forward. And then when, even though Tennessee built the lead 38-21 and then Florida had the furious rally, just look at when Tennessee cashed in on those big opportunities. When they did, as you said, forced the punt, got the ball back before the end of the half, and then went down and drove 99 yards for the score to have the lead at the half, and then they come right back. And then they trade touchdowns to start the second half, and then Tennessee scores another touchdown. Then they get the fumble. And what does Tennessee do? It goes down and it scores. Right. I mean, to create the opportunity and to seize the opportunity – are two huge feathers in Tennessee's cap. And I do think it's the mark of a good team, and it's also the mark of a mature team.
I agree. I think all those things are connected. And again, even in a game where there was so much to point out that should have been better on defense, maybe the play of the game came on defense from 21, Amari Thomas.
Right.
In forcing that fumble of Anthony Richardson. And that's the thing. They also had a fourth down stop early on the Richardson QB sneak, and Banks and Simmons and Harrison blew that up. So they've got some good plays, and they do rise up at times and make those key plays. Still room for improvement, but I think that's a trait of now having confidence and feeling like they can win some close games.
That's Vince Ferrara. I'm John Wilkerson. We'll get a break. Vince's Hour brought to you by Waters Equipment Company. I'm John Wilkerson with Vince Ferrara. Vince's Views brought to you by Waters Equipment Company. Let's check in with Doug. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Doug.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
You know, in all the years I've watched Tennessee play football, I only remember 3 99-yard drives, and darned if every one of them went against Florida. What are the odds of playing a Power 5 good team and have 3 99-yard drives against them?
Wow. I would say pretty long.
Yeah, I would too. The first one happened in 71, and I was actually texting back and forth with Bill Immerdorfer, who was on that team.
That was Phil Pierce, right?
Exactly, from Athens. And Bill lives in Athens now. But Bill said the minute that guy downed the ball on the one-yard line, he nudged the guy next to him, said, we had a 99-yard drive against Florida in 1971. And darn if they didn't have another one. And the other one was the quickest one. In 77, Kelsey Finch had the longest run in UT history, a 99-yard run against Florida down there in Gainesville.
Yep. Wow.
Yeah. So that's pretty amazing.
That is.
Hey, Vince, where'd you go to high school in Tampa?
Thomas Jefferson High School. Not more baseball players, Major League Baseball players, than any NFL players or college players. Steven Garcia was one of the better football alums. So kind of had an up and down football history there.
Yeah, my wife graduated from Plant. In 1963.
Okay.
And, I want about half the people I meet from Tampa in my age group graduated from Plant, it seems like.
Yeah. Plant's in South Tampa, and they've resurrected their program. So, yeah, those have been rivals down there, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I really like that area. I think about the friends down there as the hurricane comes to
them. Absolutely.
I hope they make it through all right. Anyway, great show, guys. See you.
All right, Doug. Sure to appreciate it. What was Gerald's nickname?
Jefferson Dragons.
The Dragons?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yep. We had a cool Dragon logo. The helmets were just blue.
Just blue.
Just blue. With a yellow stripe. But they didn't have anything on the helmets. So I guess at one point they put just a yellow J at times, but not really flashy.
The Dragons. Yeah. That's awesome. Let's go to Cody. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Cody.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. Hey, I wanted to say that, you know, they talked about, Heupel talked about the ball walk for Akron and then the environment, you know, around that game, even with it being what it was. And then you had what happened Saturday with, you know, game day coming in, the environment, that game, just a great atmosphere. And I heard a lot of talk throughout the day about Heupel saying that Rocky Top was back, and I didn't hear him say Tennessee was back. I may be mistaken. I heard him say Rocky Top was back. And in my opinion, he was stating that the environment that's been around Knoxville and Rocky Top and what's going on with the fan base and our football team right now, and that is a true statement, I believe, that Rocky Top is back. I don't think that he went out of the way like the kid from Texas when he was being smirky when they beat Georgia, you know, in that kind of way, saying that Texas was back and all that.
I agree. Yeah. His quote was, I put this out, and with the actual postgame of what he said, CBS put it out there, and I retweeted it with his exact quote. He said, this is college football, as good as it gets, man. Rocky Top's back. Let's go. So it was a mic drop without the mic.
Yeah. And I agree exactly with your read, Cody, that it's not saying that Tennessee's back, because he's the one that's laying out the work that needs to be done for Tennessee to, first of all, compete for your division title and then anything beyond that. But I don't think there's any question what he's doing is really saying thank you to the fans for what they've done in selling out the Akron game and then providing the atmosphere and giving the experience that the players and the teams have shared over the last couple of home games.
And it's very similar to what Latrell Bumpus said in the post game, where he said, hey, there, you know, when I was here earlier in my career, yeah, there'd be a few people out there, but now it's on a whole new level. I think he was talking about the energy, enthusiasm and peak environment for Tennessee football because they're going in the right direction. He has never proclaimed them to be a finished product in anything he says. So I didn't interpret that any differently than what you did, Cody.
Anything else? We sure do appreciate it. And let's go to Andrew. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Andrew.
How you guys doing today?
Fine. How are you?
Doing okay. I was at the game Saturday, and it was so loud I couldn't hear the referees whenever they were trying to talk. But I went home and rewatched the game, and I got to thinking, Napier has got to be the gutsiest coach I've seen by going for it as much as he did on fourth down. If we could have just stopped a couple of those or he punted, I think we would have blew Florida out.
Yeah, but I also think those were measured opportunities, because that's liking who you have, one, to sneak it, or the play that you've got called versus what you've already seen in terms of the other team's defense. I mean, we saw Hal Mumme go for a fake punt around his own 20 when he was the coach of Kentucky years ago. That was not met with the Riverboat Gambler approach that Napier took. I just think that when you have somebody, when you have an offense with personnel like they have, and you also have a quarterback who was having a great day, mm-hmm. I just think that gives you the chance to say, yeah, we're going to stay with it. Because and he said so kind of in his comments leading up to it, he said, how you play offense can sometimes dictate what the other team hopes to get done offensively. And I think he was trying to keep the football as long as he could.
Sure, and limit possessions, which is exactly what happened. That's why I think it was a really smart game plan. That's why, to me, his decisions, Andrew, on fourth down were more smart than gutsy. Because I think that's what they planned to do as long as they were productive on offense. It's unfortunate that Tennessee let Anthony Richardson have some early success, because I think his confidence came back, which was wavering over the last couple of game performances he had. So he was feeling good, and every single time they put it in his hands, I think four of the six times they went for it on fourth down, they threw the ball, including one, a deep shot, which he put on the money. And so it wasn't just him running, but the ball was in the best player's hands, and they wanted to keep Tennessee's offense off the field and limit their possessions, and also probably didn't have the best confidence that his defense could get stops against Tennessee's offense. So I thought it was more smart than maybe riverboat gambler or gutsy necessarily.
Well, he definitely called the game the way I play Madden. I never was. But I got a couple more questions. On the defensive relay of game Florida got,
yeah.
What did they do?
They were simulating this Tennessee was in the shotgun, which means they were going with the clap of hands to get the snap. And there was a linebacker for Florida that was clapping his hands. You're not allowed to either mimic the signals being called by the offense, or if it is in that instance going with the clap as the snap count, that's how they got the call.
Okay, and now I've noticed that they announced a kickoff for the Tennessee LSU game. It's a noon game, and I think that benefits us more than it does LSU.
Yeah, I mean, because it's 11 a.m. local time. So it's not the nighttime atmosphere. It's going to be an earlier start in the sense that sometimes the home team, it takes a little while to just get the gears rolling when you have early kickoff.
I don't know how LSU practices, but don't we practice in the mornings?
Yes.
So that I meant by that, too. Yeah. I mean, our players should be used to being they should be – up and ready to go. I think it's going to be a good game in 2 weeks.
I think it has that potential.
All right, thank you, guys. You have a good day.
You too, Andrew. Thank you very much.
And I agree that it sets up as more favorable than having a night game with peak atmosphere there in Baton Rouge. But what did Rob Lewis tell us that LSU's record was in those early starts? Like undefeated or just lost a game or two.
Right. It's a pretty good percentage.
Yeah. I guess they have a really good record in those games, which is a little bit surprising because you think of it as, hey, they're not going to be able to perform as well. They're not peak atmosphere, but maybe they handle it. I bet they have a much better record than Auburn because Auburn has been victim to quite a few of those sleepy noon or 11 a.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Central Time kickoffs.
This hour, Vince's Views, brought to you by Waters Equipment Company. If you have a question or comment for Vince, 865-656-9900. That's 865-656-9900. And you can also use that exact same number to text us your question or comment. We make it easy, Vince, don't we?
We do. So, yeah, hit us up and love your feedback on anything we're talking about, anything else you want us to address as well, not only just during my hour Tuesdays 4 to 5, but if you have anything for Danny White or any of the other guests or anything that the show talks about, so hit us up.
Yeah, because Danny White will join us at the top of the hour. So tell me what's next on your either highlight and or further examine with Tennessee's victory over Florida and looking to build on their 1-0 SEC start.
Well, I think a couple of things. One, I really liked the way Jalin Hyatt ran routes in the game. He ran with energy. He ran with confidence. I think Tennessee's trio, when they get Cedric Tillman back, Tennessee's trio is developing into as good as it gets in this league and maybe beyond that because we're all seeing the spectacular plays from them. We're seeing them put bigger numbers in terms of volume of catches and yards and touchdowns. That's a three receiver threat that I think is hard to find in this league and in college football. Plus, you have the dual threat of Hendon Hooker at quarterback. This Tennessee offense is going to be a lot for people to deal with. And just like we said going into the year, John, the defense doesn't need to be Georgia of last year. It just needs to be a little bit better. So just keep that in mind when you're sweating the defensive issues they have had. I'm not saying they don't need to get better at those things. The tackling was the worst we've seen in any game. Mm-hmm. Kamal Haddon had a couple, two, three play stretch where he missed a tackle on Anthony Richardson when he rolled out to his right. And then Richardson made a play. And then Haddon missed two tackles on the touchdown to Zipper that he was just zipping in and out of Tennessee's defense. Flowers was the other one that was pushed back. But there were a number of plays you're like, yeesh, that has to be a lot better. But they need to be a little bit better with this kind of offense. It's going to be tough to handle. And I really like what Tennessee has done at the wide receiver position. You saw Keaton take advantage of his opportunity. little surprised that we didn't see more guys, mm-hmm. that it was almost all Ramel Keaton. So he's basically established as the number four guy right now. I don't know how you can put him back into some sort of just rotation with other guys because of how well he played and how important that layout catch was. But I still think you need to figure out some more guys because you may have, who knows how long Tillman's out, or if somebody else goes out, I still think they need to establish some more guys. I'm not saying take everybody's reps away. I would like to see them slide a few more guys in there. Maybe put it on tape against the quality opponent. The Squirrel White can do some things yards after catch, mm-hmm. and maybe run away from a defense. I'd like to see Squirrel White in the return game more. So I think that will help Tennessee even more. But, man, the way the offense has looked overall, been very, very impressed.
Yeah, Fuad Rivas was speaking to that on Football Finals, mm-hmm. after the game, and that was, chances are you are going to need other guys because you're going to have other injuries. It's just, unless you're the most fortunate of fortunate teams, I mean, could you imagine if you were able to go through an entire season and just have a receiver miss a game?
Yeah, for sure.
Be beyond remarkable. So that's why I don't think there's any question. You underscore that situation because it is very necessary just to have that faith in somebody that if somebody needs to step up, you've got options.
No doubt about it. And that goes back to having better depth this year. I think they've done a nice job overall, except for a couple of areas, in having more options to go to. You'd like to see them have more guys that maybe they would trot out there in the secondary. We've seen a few guys because of injuries, but if these competitions in the preseason were as close as they were alleged to have been, you'd think more guys would earn playing time. Couple things on the defense. I thought Tamari McDonald, who has played really well this year, struggled the most that I have seen him in a game this year. Thought Walker kind of solidified that star position a little bit. And then when you're thinking about all the open receivers that Richardson had in that game, don't forget about the linebackers, because there were times where Tennessee's linebackers would have coverage responsibilities. There was one play where Banks was showing blitz and then he bailed out of it, but he couldn't get back in coverage to the guy. So you got to show it, but you have to be able to get back there as well. That's an area he's gotten better at in pass coverage, but there's still room for improvement there.
Yeah, and that's probably the area that he needs to showcase his abilities the most as he gets ready for the draft.
Yeah, I think so, because in terms of the production, the volume of tackles, his athleticism, all those things are the intensity. He's cleaned up all those after the whistle type of things. Well, he came close in pushing down Richardson. I thought maybe they were going to give him a whistle. But look, here, that's another point. Is I thought the officials kind of let a lot of stuff go that they could have called personal fouls in. There was that push of Richardson on a rollout by Banks. There was Jalen Wright at the end of the game on his touchdown where he did a gator chomp and throat slash with, you could see on the TV camera, the official is right there. And usually they're the fun police. Right. They're the ones getting there like in the middle of celebrations. We can't have all this. And then also when the Florida defense threw down Jabari Small in the end zone very late, and then Jerome Carvin came in and pushed one of the Florida defenders. I don't think it was the guy that pushed Small down, but he was standing up for his guy, and the officials didn't call any of that. So they could have called a few other things, but in terms of those kind of things, they didn't call as much of that. Thought Tennessee got a couple of breaks in that. Florida got a break on that on the out of bounds of Hendon Hooker,
yep,
where Ventrell Miller clearly pushed him well out of bounds. And there's plenty of other of those officiating type of things. But don't forget the linebackers and coverage is a part of the equation. And some of it was just a breakdown. One play, I think it was in the first half, Tennessee had Florida had four receivers on one side in a bunch with trips and three tight ends, and two of them, the outside defenders went inside sort of in man coverage, and there was two open receivers on the right side where Richardson went, and in the Tennessee red zone, and it was Tennessee's two Mike linebackers or inside linebackers at the time. It was Banks, and then Flowers was the other interior guy. They're the ones in the middle of the field that had to go cover because the outside guys went inside. So there was a mix up there in what their coverage was. So I think those are things that they potentially can clean up to not have as many busts on defense.
That's Vince Ferrara. His hour brought to you by Waters Equipment Company. We'll get a break. A final segment with Vince coming up. That's for this hour of Vince. Final segment with Vince Ferrara and Vince's views. Vince, can you believe it? Week 7 of high school football this Friday?
It's crazy. I tried to warn VFL Jay Graham, my partner for the KOC Game of the Week, that once we would get started, the next thing you know is we would be either middle of the year or we'd be staring the playoffs in the face.
Yep.
Real soon. So, yeah, crazy that we're in the back half. Just like that.
Yeah, and you've got a heck of a matchup, I believe, this Friday when on AM 990, folks will be able to hear Bearden at home against Bradley Central.
Yeah, very, very good game. And I anytime we can get a look at either both of those two proud programs will be awesome. So studying up on them, and we'll be ready to go Friday, 7 p.m.
And it's got to be a little bit different because you – didn't have to track down a VFL to get ready for Saturday. So, unfortunately, we'll be robbed of Vince's cutting room floor.
What will you guys do? Somehow you will overcome that adversity and make it.
Well, there will be the only media availability of the week tomorrow for Tennessee football. Look forward to hearing from Tennessee coach Josh Heupel, as well as, I believe, a handful of selected players.
Yes, we'll have a couple players we'll talk to, and hopefully since the veterans are put out there a little bit more frequently, maybe we can get some different guys and see where they're at. It was great that we got a chance to talk to Brew McCoy for the first time in the post game, and hopefully there'll be a couple two tree of the newer guys, and we can kind of tell their story and learn about where they're at with this 4-0 start.
Yeah, and even though it's an open date for Tennessee football, still a ton of content daily updated on 99.1thesportsanimal.com.
Oh my goodness, there's a ton of stuff, and there's been so many announcements, whether it's guys getting recognition like Hendon Hooker and Javonte Spraggins, or Tennessee getting into the top 10, and the TV announcements. We have all of those stories, plus blogs from Jimmy Himes and myself, all of the post game, all the interviews we have up there in podcast and video form. The podcast, just hover over the podcast menu tab at the top, click on Vols Interviews and More. If you search for that anywhere you get your podcast on any platform, you can subscribe there and they go directly to your phone. If you want to get the videos, you can go one of two places. Just in the middle of the main page is a video player there. Three little bars at the top brings the list of all the archive videos. All of our post-game videos have blown up. I mean, we've gotten some thousands of views on so many of them. There's a video that I took of the final play of the game, Tennessee, Florida, and then the celebration that's been viewed heavily. And Josh and I doing a on-field wrap-up and all the other post-game stuff. So there's a lot of great content on the video section. You can also get to it from the Vols tab at the top, and you can just click on Vols Sports Animal UT videos, and then subscribe to our YouTube channel and get them automatically there as well. That's Sports Animal 991, which is the same for all of our social media accounts.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.